Isaiah 32 and verse 15 is where we want to read here tonight. And if you have read through Isaiah 32 anytime lately, you can see very clearly that this is a prophecy, a future prophecy concerning what was going to happen when the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ was ushered in. And the blessing and the need of this provision of the Lord. Verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Amen. Praise the Lord for the promise of God and for this word of prophecy concerning the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Actually, I believe that this was a prophecy declaring that the Lord was going to pour His Spirit out, and He did. You see this in a lot of places in the Scripture. You'll see Old Testament Scriptures fulfilled sometimes just later in the Old Testament, other places, other accounts in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, you see it fulfilled. And that's the case in this text, that this prophecy is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out. The conditions that are described until the Spirit, or these things are going to continue like this, until the Spirit of God is poured out. But once the Spirit of the Lord is poured out, then change is going to come. Amen. Some of the things that were going on, you can look at in the previous verses. Just spiritual darkness everywhere. Indifference. Carelessness. Unfruitfulness. They were at ease. And instead of fruit, there were thorns and briars. The cities and the palaces that should have been full of life and activity are desolate. It is nothing but a picture of just a hopeless situation, hopelessness, and just a condition of spiritual need, spiritual drought that pervaded. And now the promise was, it's going to stay like that. This is going to be the conditions. And you know that prophecy was fulfilled, because all of those hundreds of years before the ministry of John the Baptist, and then the ministry of our Lord, all before that was just darkness, a period of darkness, 400 or so years of no prophetic voice. And then Jesus comes on the scene. John the Baptist comes on the scene, and the fulfillment of this prophecy is on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God is poured out, and that changes everything. Amen. It changes everything. When a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, it changes everything. Amen. And when I received the Holy Ghost, it was such a changing time for me. Such a transformational time in my life. I was so backward. I was so shy. I didn't want to do anything. I just backed up from ever having to be up in front of anyone, and bashful, and probably full of pride. But the Spirit of the Lord, my experience as a young person being filled with the Holy Ghost, I became a different person after I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Change comes whenever a person is filled with the Spirit. Amen. And you can see the dramatic change here that's prophesied, that it was just hopelessness and a spiritual dryness, spiritual drought. Actually, taking note of the conditions that are in some of the parts of our country right now in a physical way, that there's several places across the southern part of the United States that is in a terrible, terrible drought. It is so severe that it has not been a drought like this in 40 to 50 years. It's extreme. I went to a website that measures drought conditions in different parts of the world and here in our country. And there are five different levels of drought condition. Number one is abnormally dry. Number two, now it gets worse as it goes. Abnormally dry is not that bad. Number two is moderate drought. Number three is severe drought. Number four is extreme drought. And number five is exceptional drought. 80% of the state of Texas is in number five level right now. 80% of the state of Texas. One half of the state of New Mexico. A portion of Arizona. About one-third of the state of Oklahoma, one-third of the state of Louisiana is in this exceptional level of drought. It's so extreme in Texas that one farmer who plants 3,000 acres of cotton, he said not any of the seed in all of the 3,000 acres that he sowed, none of it germinated. He said it is all just barrenness. My entire farmland is just barren. He said the weeds aren't even able to grow. It's so bad. It's so dry. He said when you're in his truck and he's driving out over his property and he looks out over the land, he said, it looks like we're in a terrible winter, a freeze, and everything is just brown. But when you roll down the windows, you realize that you've got 105 degree temperatures and the conditions are terrible. So there's a terrible drought condition that's all across the southern part of the United States. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. And I guess we probably will all have to pay for it eventually. It's going to affect us all one way or another. Now, that is, I think, a pretty close comparison to the spiritual condition after 400 years of not one prophetic word, not one word from the Lord, silence, and nothing going on. Can you think of 400 years? It's hard to imagine that. But if you look at this and look where we are in the year 2011 and back up 400 years, all the way back to before this nation was ever even established as a nation. That's how far back you would have to go to see the length and the period of time. And this nation has had repeated times of revivals. And times whenever God has moved in this nation, has raised up preachers of the gospel. And we've gone through numbers of cycles of spiritual need and spiritual revival here in this country in the last 400 years. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, John the Baptist stepped on the scene, it was dry, it was as dead, it was as lifeless. And that's what Isaiah is prophesying here about here. How bad that it was, how dry and difficult that it was. No fruit. Everyone were at ease. They pretty much had just forgotten about their need for God and were going on with their life, thinking that that was a normal existence. But then he prophesies concerning that time that was to come and what the Lord was going to do. And he said, until the Spirit be poured out. Amen. Glory to God. Now that was the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I, for one, I strongly am convinced that there is an early rain and a latter rain. And I believe that the latter rain is just before the coming of the Lord, a revival that's promised in the last days, and that we're in a time right now just as well of spiritual need and spiritual drought in our land, in our country. And it's evident by all the dark and the wicked, evil things that are taking place every day. unimaginable things that are happening in our country in the direction away from God, further and further and further away from God. We have a nation now that pretty much just makes a mockery of the Bible and a mockery of Christianity. We've come to such a place now that we are in a spiritual drought, and we need to lay hold of the promise of God, that these conditions are desperate, and the only answer is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we needed to contend for that as a Pentecostal church, as Pentecostal believers. We need to contend for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It just means, the phrase there, and I just wanted to look into this just a little bit in depth. The outpouring, an outpouring. You see, this is a Bible, it's Bible terminology that you won't find only in this place. Let me read you a few other verses. Isaiah 44 in verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." Each one of these verses that I'm reading are talking about the outpouring of the Spirit and the Pentecostal experience. Praise God. Ezekiel 39 and verse 29, "Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my Spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God." Joel chapter 2 in verse 28 and 29, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my Spirit." That's the Bible terminology. Pouring out. Pouring out. Amen. It's the words, the phrase there really means, just to give another little slant on it, it means the spilling forth or the gushing forth of a divine source. Amen. It means an abundant pouring out, a gushing forth of divine help and divine strength and divine power that's made available to us for these last days so that we can accomplish what God has put us here to accomplish. Amen. We cannot do it by any man-made source. It cannot be done. And it's things that stirs me. Brother Bright was talking about in Sunday school this morning the different false doctrines that are being so emphasized, and unbelievable things that are so extreme that are absolutely ignoring the Word of God, ignoring the Bible, and actually contradicting an exact contradiction. Robert Schuller said that God is a God, and you can see this message of his on YouTube. He says, "God and the way to heaven is a wide door which accepts everyone," and he was including Islam and all the various religions. Well, we know that that's not what the Bible says. It is not a wide door. It is a narrow way. A complete contradiction to the Word of God. And that's what we're dealing with today, is so much deception and so much darkness that anyone can be, if you could fall prey and be deceived by the spirit of this age. This gushing forth, this power that comes as a pouring forth, a pouring out, it's clear where it comes from. "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high." Amen. What is the source of this Holy Spirit pouring forth? It comes from God. It comes from heaven. It is a heavenly source. Amen. It is provided to believers here on earth, but it's not of this earth. It is a heavenly outpouring that comes to every one of us. So it is not man-made. It's not earthly. It's not carnal. It's not just an emotionalism. It's not derived from any earthly source. It's a heavenly source. It's of another world. It comes from God. It is a heavenly source. Hallelujah. And John the Baptist, when the Spirit of God, the heavens opened, the Bible says, and John is there to baptize Jesus, and all the crowd is there observing what happened that day, and there was a voice from heaven and a dove that descended. It came out of the heavens. The heavens opened, and it came down in a symbol of the Spirit of God that was going to rest upon that ministry. And this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that dove that descended from heaven came and empowered and anointed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on that day. Hallelujah. Descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, it says that there was this sound from heaven. Suddenly, there was a sound that came out of heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Amen. I'm just giving you a few of these verses to remind you that this is not anything that we can conjure up. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not a man-made thing. This is a heavenly thing, an outpouring, a gushing forth, an empowering Spirit of God that is, its source is from heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 24 and verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. After Jesus was resurrected, and now just before his ascension, he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, or totally clothed, totally, completely enclosed with this power from on high. Amen. Again, identifying the source. This is a heavenly source. This is a heavenly blessing, a heavenly power. Amen. And it was prophesied all those many generations before by Isaiah, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Amen. That the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out upon us. And we're trusting Him, and we're waiting upon the Lord to empower us with this spiritual power. The song that was sung there at the last, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. We've got to reach the lost. We must touch the lost, whatever it takes. And I know that we need to have a strategic plan, and we need to reach out to the world, and all of those things are important. But it is all a man-made effort unless we're empowered from on high. Hallelujah. No life, no source, no strength until the Spirit of God is poured out upon us. Hallelujah. How could we ever in the Pentecostal church ever think that we could continue in the flesh what was begun in the Spirit? Amen. The Pentecostal church, the New Testament church, born of the Spirit, born of this outpouring of the Spirit. It was that spiritual power that gave to those disciples who were ignorant and unlearned, but it gave to them special power and ability to do what they would have never have been able to accomplish. But by the Spirit of God that was poured out upon them, heaven just rained out upon them and empowered them to go forth preaching the gospel. They literally turned their world upside down. And that was the reason why they were able to do it, is because they had a heavenly touch, a heavenly source in their life. What is it that we need so desperately in such a dry and a dark time that we're in right now, when the church needs revival, when every member of the church needs a renewing of the Spirit of God, when there's carelessness, some of the very things that Isaiah described that was going to be going on in the day of that spiritual darkness, carelessness, people at ease, unfruitfulness, indifference, and just no life, no blessing, no favor of God, and in that condition. And that is exactly the condition that we're faced with today in the church world. And we need an outpouring of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need heaven to open up and to rain upon us. Hallelujah. Just to pour out upon us a spiritual force, a spiritual power, whereby we will able to have an effect. I described it this morning, trying to talk with a homeless man to convince him of his need to be saved. And I knew I was not penetrating. I knew I was not getting through to him. His mind and his heart was so hardened and so clouded by the life that he was involved in, the lifestyle that he was living. There has to be a power of God in us that gives us the ability to penetrate the minds and the hearts of people that we can never be able to reach them without the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is the power that was given to the early church. It gave them the ability to accomplish. When you read the book of Acts, it is amazing. It is incredible. All the things that took place, one miracle after another. Hundreds, thousands of people that were converted, that were stirred, that were hungering for the things of God, and such a dramatic move of God. The book of Acts spells out all these amazing, wonderful things that were accomplished by the Spirit, this power that was poured out from on high. Hallelujah. After we experience this wonderful blessing, then the rest of the text describes what will happen. The wilderness will be a fruitful place. I don't know about you, but I really have a great desire to see our church become fruitful. Amen. I want to see us bearing fruit in every sense of the word. Certainly in reaching the lost, but every one of us growing and moving forward in the knowledge of the Lord and stepping out to accomplish the things that the Lord is calling us to do. Some have said to me, I want God to use me. I want the hand of the Lord to use me. Well, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Let the Spirit of the Lord, let heaven open up, and just pray and seek the Lord until the heavens open up and He pours out His Spirit upon you. It will make all the difference. It will cause our pulpit and the preaching to become fruitful. Amen. It will cause the altars to become fruitful. It will cause our worship to become fruitful. Amen. It will cause every endeavor and every ministry that we're involved in to become fruitful, no longer lifeless, no longer without the blessing and the favor of God, but to experience His favor and His blessing once again. Oh, we need to long for that. We need to desire that. We need to pray for that and do just like those early disciples did. Wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord until we are endued with power. Then He'll fill us with His Spirit. He'll rain out of heaven upon us, and He'll cause those of us who have not had any spiritual fruit in our life to begin to enjoy that kind of blessing and favor from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the young children to the teens and young adults and every age group, all the way up to the most elderly among us, every one of us bearing fruit and used of God, He will make that dry wilderness to become a fruitful field. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. That's what this kind of a pouring out, a gushing forth of the Spirit of the Lord upon us will accomplish in our lives. It's absolutely a futile effort to try to do ministry, to try to do the work of the church, to try to be the church in our own strength, in our own power. Oh, what a failure. What a failure that we are, and how foolish it is to even attempt that when we have available to us this wonderful gift that has been provided for the church to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that we can move forward in the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. He will make the wilderness a fruitful field. Verse 16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. Judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. Once that we begin to walk in the Spirit, then, you know, you can't separate the work of the Spirit from the Spirit of truth. Amen. Whenever there is an outpouring of the Spirit of God, there's also a revival of God's Word and a hunger for the Word and a desire for the Word. And so then judgment will come. We'll be governed by the law of the Word of God. And righteousness will come. We'll begin to do what's right before God and before our fellow man. And peace will come. Hallelujah. Because we're witnessing the mighty hand of God working among us. Praise the Lord. You know, what we have out here in the world is a culture. It's a mindset. But that stays out there. That doesn't need to be a part of who we are or how we think. We have the mind of Christ. And so we have, I guess you would say, a subculture. We're a culture within a culture. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we're this subculture. We're in the world. And we are to be a Spirit-filled people. Amen. Glory to God. The world depends upon worldly wisdom. The world depends upon their own abilities, their natural abilities. We must not do that. We must depend upon the Spirit of God. And every one of us seeking the Lord until we are filled anew with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Now this spiritual darkness, it's going to continue until the Spirit is poured out from on high. Hallelujah. Amen. Things will not change. There will be no difference. The church will have no power to affect our society in this culture. And really what will happen is we'll be sucked into the mindset of the world if we just try to just coexist. And so instead of doing that, we have to be a spiritual people. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, living by the Word of God. And then we have the effect, the impact upon the world that we have been called to have. Amen. Glory to God. We become fruitful. We become a people who are righteous. We become a people who are living in the peace and the favor of God because we are filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of years have come and gone since I was a young person filled with the Holy Ghost. I was really young, 14 maybe 15, very young. But it was a real experience. It was a mighty experience. In that time, during that 2 hours or so that I was in a separate room from everybody else praying because of my pride, laying on my back, praying and seeking God, crying out to God. It was during that 2 hours that I was just changed. I was a different person. Everyone in our church would testify of that later, saying there's just such a difference, such a difference. And I wasn't, I was still, you know, had my backward times, but I was changed. It was during that 2 hour period for the first time when I came out of that time of just the Spirit of God just being poured out upon me, speaking in tongues, laying on my back, seeking the Lord, and just this gushing forth, this empowering of the Spirit of God. It was during that time that God dealt with me about the ministry. God talked to me about the call of God. He talked to me about His purpose for my life. And you see, whenever He equips us, it's because He has a task. He has a calling. He has a ministry that He wants us to fulfill. Hallelujah. I came out of that experience transformed, changed. Hallelujah. Never to go back. Oh, sure, I had some times of, you know, not really pursuing God like I should. But it was a dramatic time of God's touch upon my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I think many of you could testify to the same thing. Oh, how we need the heavens to open and for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. How we need it. How we need it. And I just pray, God, stir up in our hearts a desire. And help us, Lord, to not be satisfied with no fruit. Help us to not be satisfied with no power, ineffectiveness, lifelessness. Oh, God, help us to hunger for the touch of God. Hallelujah. And the power of the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Last night, just here around the altars, as we were praying around the altars. Oh, you know, I know it doesn't always happen this way, but oh, I just sensed the presence of God and the Spirit of God coming into this sanctuary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Out of our need, desolation and our dryness and our lifelessness, if we'll wait on the Lord, He will empower us. Amen. This heavenly source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm thankful for Bible school opportunities. I'm thankful for all the resources that are available to us and the tools that are available to us today as far as ministry is concerned. But all of that is, it's small. It's so small compared to what we must have. If 2011, if we are going to face it with confidence, if we're going to face the challenges with confidence, we don't know what the future holds. All kinds of things that people are predicting about the economy, what we're facing here in the United States of America, things that are being predicted about even the 10th anniversary of September the 11th. Who knows what's going to happen? We do not know. But as a church, there's only one way to be ready and equipped for whatever comes our way. We need to be a church filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's your desire, if the Lord's talking to you, and if you sense your need, you sense your need, you just feel so powerless. Oh, it's available. It's available. Isaiah prophesied concerning this wonderful blessing and wonderful outpouring. And it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And I believe it's continuing today for those who are seeking, for those that are hungry. Hallelujah. 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 I want to welcome everybody to come in around the altars here tonight. And let's ask the Lord, Lord, stir up a hunger where there hasn't been a hunger. Lord, make us aware of our needy, of our lacking. And let's call upon the Lord here around this altar. Here tonight, if you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost in times past, that experience needs to be renewed in your life tonight. It needs to be renewed in your life right here and tonight in this service. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I mean filled with the Spirit, with the evidence, that initial evidence, speaking in other tongues, you need to be filled. Hallelujah. 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 Let's come and pray. Let's come and seek the Lord. Let's ask the Lord, stir us and give to us what we desperately need as a church for these last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.